الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Inshallah, after the remaining dua, Darsa Quran will be imparted in the English language. All brothers are requested to participate.
Twin boy, so he brings some food as well. He brings some food as well after Maghrib.
The brothers welcome. Okay. Office man, Usman ne kuch dua print out kiya. Wo zara abhi le aaya. تقسیم کر ہی دو تقسیم کر ہی دو السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والذي خلق الأزواج كلها وجعل لكم من الفلك والأنعام ما تركبون لتستووا على ظهوره ثم تذكروا نعمة ربكم إذا استويتم عليه وتقولوا سبحان الذي سخر لنا هذا وما كنا له مقرنين وإنا إلى ربنا لمنقلبون. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. We continue with the commentary of Surah Az-Zukhruf. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was mentioning in certain ayat and certain verses with regards to the tawheed and the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this particular part of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does this by mentioning certain favors of His. And these favors, when we ponder over them, we can understand that these are great favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which He has bestowed upon us. And we can also understand the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we were supposed to have completed this in last week's lesson, but there were a couple of ayat remaining, and because the time finished, we were unable to complete it, so we are completing those last 2-3 ayat in today's lesson. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further mentions in ayah number 12, وَالَّذِي خَلَقَ الْأَزْوَاجِ that it is Allah who created all pairs. This was already discussed in last week's lesson. وَجَعَلَ لَكُم مِّنَ الْفُلْكِ وَالْأَنْعَامِ مَا تَرْكَبُونَ And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made for you ships and animals which you ride. لِتَسْتَوُوا عَلَىٰ ظُهُورِهِ That you may be seated on their backs. ثُمَّ تَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ رَبِّكُمْ And then recall the bounty of your Rabb who placed them at your service. إِذَا اسْتَوَيْتُمْ عَلَيْهِ When you mount upon them. وَتَقُولُوا And say, سبحان الذي سخر لنا هذا Pure is Allah who has placed this animal at our service. وما كنا له مقرنين Whereas we would never have been able to control it. وإنا إلى ربنا لمنقلبون And our return shall certainly be to our Rabb. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here mentions that when we mount upon an animal, so mounting upon an animal is something which would happen during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So for you and I, this lesson is for when we sit in our means of transport, be it a car, a bus, train, aeroplane. So whenever we sit in any mode of transport, Allah Ta'ala first mentions that ثُمَّ تَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ رَبِّكُمْ, that you recall the bounty of your Rabb. So this is the difference between the believers and the disbelievers. The disbelievers, whenever they are granted a favor and a bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they attribute that bounty towards themselves. They feel that they have achieved something. And a mu'min and a believer, he never attributes the bounty and the favor towards himself. He always attributes it towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A disbeliever, someone who doesn't believe in Allah, if he is very intelligent, he will feel this intelligence is something which I have gained myself. If he is extremely knowledgeable, he will even say with his tongue that it's because I've studied for 10 years, for 15 years. I went to this university. I've spent many nights. And it's because of all these years of hard work, this is why I'm so knowledgeable. But a mu'min and a believer, the great ulama, they will never attribute this knowledge towards themselves. Whereas they also exert much effort. They also put in a lot of hard work. But they will always say that whatever I have is because Allah Ta'ala has given it to me. Same goes for wealth. A disbeliever will say that the reason I am wealthy and rich is because of the many years of hard work that I have put into my life. And a believer will say that all this that you see is because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. هَذَا مِن فَضْلِ رَبِّي. This is the grace of my Rabb. So first of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that the quality of a believer is that when he mounts, when he sits in his means of conveyance, then he doesn't become neglectful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even at that time, he reminds himself that this car which I am sitting in, this is also a ni'mah and a favor from Allah. Otherwise, there are many individuals who don't have a car, and they have to travel using public transport. And when a person sits in public transport, even he should think to himself that this is also a ni'mah from Allah Ta'ala. Because there are many that can't even afford public transport, and they have to walk. And a mu'min and a believer goes to this length, that if Allah Ta'ala has made him from that category, that he hasn't bestowed him with his own transport, he hasn't even given him that amount of money that he can afford public transport, and he has to walk, he will also be grateful upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this transport. That at least Allah ta'ala has given me legs. There are many in the world who can't even walk. So, ثُمَّ تَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ رَبِّكُمْ. A believer, he ponders over the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the blessing of Allah. And such is the greatness of Allah ta'ala, such is his clemency and such is his mercy upon us servants, that there is no human being who can say that I have nothing to be grateful for. Even that individual who may be deaf, dumb, blind, paralyzed, even if he was to ponder, even he will come to the conclusion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed me with so many blessings. So, ثُمَّ تَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ رَبِّكُمْ. First of all, we remember and ponder that this is also a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He has given us the ability to sit in this mode of transport. And then, إِذَا اسْتَوَيْتُمْ عَلَيْهِ, that when you mount upon it, وَتَقُولُ, and you say. So after mentally telling yourself that this is a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, verbally you also praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With the supplication which has been taught to us in the Qur'an, as well as other supplications which we learn from the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The supplication which we have been taught in the Qur'an here in Surah Zukhruf is, Subhanalladhi sakhara lana hadha wama kunna lahu muqrinin wa inna ila rabbina lamunqalibun. Which you have in front of you. So this is a famous dua which many people already know. Subhanalladhi sakhara lana hadha wama kunna lahu muqrinin wa inna ila rabbina lamunqalibun. We should learn this dua. And whenever we sit in any mode of transport, we should read this dua. And not only this dua, whatever duas that we have been taught by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam for the different moments of our lives, we should learn these duas and we should read them. The reason being, there are so many benefits behind every single dua that we have been taught. The duas and the supplications that we have been taught, they are not just that if you read it, you will be rewarded. Reward is only one benefit. If you read the dua, you will be rewarded. But this reward is only one benefit. When a person reads any of these duas which have been taught to us through the Quran or the hadith, number one, we gain reward. Number two, we gain anwar, spiritual and divine light in our life. Through this spiritual nur, this divine light, a person can see the path to Jannah. He will know what he needs to do. He will be granted hidayah and guidance to do good deeds. When a person reads this duas, khairat come into his life. Goodness. Many types of goodness. When we read this dua, we gain barakat, we gain blessings. And when we read these duas, then spiritually our heart becomes stronger. When our heart becomes stronger spiritually, we have the ability to do good deeds and we also have the ability to refrain from sins. Number six, when we read these duas, then we gain a closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And number seven, when we read these du'as, if we ponder over the meanings of these du'as, we will gain a ma'rifah and a recognition of Allah ta'ala. And number eight, our love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase. So there are so many benefits of reading these du'as which we have been taught in the Quran and the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So many benefits. And on top of this, these general benefits, there are certain benefits which have been mentioned for certain du'as also. Just to give you one or two examples. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in one hadith that if after eating, after a person eats, if he was to read this dua, Alhamdulillahi alladhi at'amani hadha wa razaqanihi min ghayri hawlin minni wala quwwah. Then, gufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbihi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive all of his previous sins. So just imagine every day when you sit down to eat, after eating, if you were to read, learn this dua and then read this dua. Alhamdulillahi alladhi at'amani hadha wa razaqanihi min ghayri hawlin minni wala quwwah. All your previous sins will be forgiven. So such a great benefit for such a short dua. A second example. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on one occasion, he left from his house. Either it was in the afternoon or it was at night time. The narrator mentions that it was at a time when normally people would not leave their house. So normally in the afternoon in Arabia, they would go to sleep, Qailula, the siesta. So at that time, because it's extremely hot, no one would leave the house. Or at night time when people are asleep. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam leaves his home, and it so happens that he sees Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And then he sees Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So he asks them, what are you two doing out at this time when usually nobody is outside? So Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu replied, Al-ju' ya Rasulullah. It's hunger that has made us come out of our houses. In other words, we haven't eaten for such a lengthy period of time that we have come out to see if there is anything for us to eat. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied that the very thing which has taken you out from your houses is the very thing which has made me exit from my house also. So all three were going through a period of hunger. It so happens that they go to one house, and the Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Abu Haytham ibn Tayhan radiallahu anhu, he himself is not in the house, but his wife invites them in and she informs them that he is out, he will come home after some time. When Abu Haytham radiallahu ta'ala anhu returns, his wife informs him that today we have three guests. So Abu Haytham radiallahu anhu remarks that all praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has today given me such guests that no one in the entire world has such guests. I have the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhu in my house today. And thereafter, first of all, he presents them with some dates, then some milk, and then he slaughters an animal. After they consume this meal, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhu that latus'alunna an hadha an-na'imi yawm al-qiyamah. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question you with regards to these blessings also. Imagine, they haven't eaten for a very long period of time. They were extremely hungry. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is embedding in our mind that everything that we benefit from in this worldly life, we'll be questioned regarding it on the day of Qiyamah. So Umar radiallahu anhu and Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu looked very concerned that even these morsels that were necessary for us, we are going to be questioned regarding this. So upon this, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught a dua, and he said that if after eating a person reads this dua, Alhamdulillahi alladhi huwa ashba'ana wa arwana wa an'ama alayna wa afdala. If someone reads this dua, Alhamdulillahi alladhi huwa ashba'ana, all praise be to Allah who has satiated us, wa arwana, and who has quenched our thirst, wa an'ama alayna wa afdala, and who has showered us with blessings. If somebody was to read this dua, then on the day of Qiyamah, he will not be questioned with regards to the food that he ate. So look how many benefits there are of reading the supplications. So anyway, coming to this dua here, over here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us what dua we are supposed to recite when we sit in our means of conveyance. And the dua in the Quran is, Subhanalladhi sakhara lana hadha wa ma kunna lahu muqrinin wa inna ila rabbina lamunqalibun. We find under the commentary of this ayah that Ali bin Rabi'ah rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that on one occasion, I saw Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. That Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he mounted on his animal one day, and when he placed his foot in his stirrup, in the stirrup of the animal, he said, Bismillah. So the first thing you need to do is that when you place your foot inside the car, when we sit inside the car and we place our foot inside the car, at that time we have to say, Bismillah. Thereafter, فَلَمَّا اسْتَوَىٰ عَلَى الدَّابَّةِ قَالَ أَلْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ. When he sat on the animal, he said, Alhamdulillah. So when you enter the car, you say, Bismillah. When you sit on the seat, you now say, Alhamdulillah. And thereafter, he said, Subhanalladhi sakhara lana hadha wa ma kunna lahu muqrinin wa inna ila rabbina lamunqalibun. Which is in the Quran. After that, he said, Alhamdulillah, three times. And thereafter he mentioned Allahu Akbar three times. And thereafter he recited Allahumma la ilaha illa anta o subhanaka inni. There's two different narrations. And thereafter zalamtu nafsi faghfirli fa innahu la yaghfiru dhunuba illa anta. And thereafter he smiled. So Ali bin Rabi'a, he says that when Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu smiled, then I asked him that what made you smile? So Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that I also saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do just as I have done. Meaning I saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam place his foot in the stirrup and say Bismillah. Then when he sat on the animal, he said Alhamdulillah. Then he read, Subhanalladhi sakhara lana hadha wa ma kunna lahu muqrinin wa inna ila rabbina lamunqalibun. Thereafter he said Alhamdulillah three times, Allahu Akbar three times, and then recited Subhanaka inni zalamtu nafsi faghfirli fa innahu la yaghfiru dhunuba illa anta. And thereafter he smiled. So when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiled, then I asked him that, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what makes you smile? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to me, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees a servant carry out this action, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes happy with him. So when a person smiles, he becomes happy. So Allah ta'ala smiles, Allah ta'ala becomes happy. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes happy, then I also become happy that I know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy with this action. So this is what you have been given. Those who don't have it, then they can take a copy after the lesson, or it will also be shared on the WhatsApp group. We should keep this in our cause. We should try to learn the du'as. If we can't learn it, at least read it looking inside and follow these steps. Every time you sit in a car, you should do this. And not only car, any mode of transport. Because it's something which we have been taught by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and there are many benefits to it. Now, this dua, the first part of the dua is Subhanalladhi sakhara lana hadha. Subhanalladhi sakhara lana hadha. That glorified be that being. Or pure is Allah who has placed this animal at our service. So animal is for those people who are mounting on an animal. For us, it would be whatever means of transport we are sitting in. So we are saying pure is Allah who has placed this car or placed this means of transport at our service. وَمَا كُنَّا لَهُ مُقْرِنِينَ. Whereas we would never have been able to control it without his assistance. وَمَا كُنَّا لَهُ مُقْرِنِينَ. We would never have been able to control it. So this is why you see that animals, they will only be in your control if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes that animal in your control. Otherwise, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not make that animal in a person's control, this animal will never be in a person's control. The same goes for our means of transport. that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wished, He could have made it such that these means of transport, they would never have been in our control. But it's the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He makes that car in our control and we are able to control it. One is that the car is in our control. This is one blessing. And a second blessing is that we are able to control the car. Otherwise, there are many people who can't control a car. They don't know how to drive. There are many people who will take driving lessons for years upon years, but they still don't know how to drive. So this is also a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jarir bin Abdullah al-Bajali radiallahu anhu, a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who passed away during the last 6 months of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life. So when he accepted Islam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam only lived for another 6 months and thereafter he passed away. But in these 6 months, he says that such was my connection with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that whenever me and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had eye contact, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam always smiled. There was never a moment in these 6 months that we had eye contact and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not smile when he saw me. And he further says that in these 6 months, whenever I went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's house and I knocked on the door, there wasn't a single occasion when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me that not now, Jarir. Rather, every time he granted me permission that you can enter the house. This was the connection he had with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had great trust in him. So on one occasion, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Jarir bin Abdullah al-Bajali radiallahu anhu, that I want you to go on an expedition or on a mission with 100 horses. So on that occasion, Sayyidina Jarir radiallahu anhu said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I am able to mount onto the horse. But after mounting onto the horse, I am unable to control the horse. Even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not know that he was unable to control a horse. So on that occasion, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he struck his hand on the chest of Sayyidina Jarir radiallahu anhu. And after slapping his hand on his chest, he made a dua and he said, Allahumma thabbithu waj'alhu hadiyan mahdiya. That, O Allah, keep him firm on the horse and make him one who is guided and make him one who is able to guide others also. So after this dua, Sayyidina Jarir bin Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that I mounted on the horse with full confidence. And thereafter, whenever I had to travel, I would travel on the horse and I would be able to control the horse. Prior to this, whenever I would travel, I would fall off. But after that day, I would always be in control of the horse when I would ride it. So the point I was making is that even controlling the vehicle, this is not in our control. This is something which only is possible if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes that animal in our control. Under the commentary of this ayah, there is an incident which had been mentioned regarding Amr ibn Dinar rahimahullahu ta'ala. Amr ibn Dinar rahmatullahi alayhi says that on one occasion, I went with Abu Ja'far. So when I was traveling with Abu Ja'far, then an individual, he mounted upon a camel which was very difficult to ride. So those people who usually ride on animals, they know that which animal's easy, which one's difficult. So this was common knowledge that this particular camel is very difficult to control it. So he says that I said to him that, O Abu Ja'far, do you not fear that this camel will throw you off when you mount onto it? You seem to sit on it with so much confidence that you'll be able to control this camel. So do you not have any fear? So he replied that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that ala sinami kulli ba'irin shaytan. Upon the hump of every camel, there is a shaytan. There is a shaytan on the hump of every camel. So when you mount upon the camel, then you should take the name of Allah as you have been commanded. In other words, you should read the dua that you have been taught. So next time, when you go on a holiday and you see on a camel, remember this. So he doesn't throw you off. So read the dua when you mount on the camel. And after you've read the dua, now test the camel for yourself however you want. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bear the burden. In other words, now this camel will not be able to do anything. You will be able to control the camel. So look, they had full conviction that because I've recited the dua, now I will be able to control my means of conveyance. Even those people who find it difficult to drive, for example, that they should have conviction in the du'as of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that once I recite the du'a, then inshallah I will now be able to control the car. If you are having driving lessons or you have a driving test, then read the du'as first. And this is just one benefit. We should keep this in mind. Or if you are sat in a car with a driver, and you know that this driver, he drives very crazy. He's driving 80, 90 miles an hour on a 30-mile road. And you're feeling scared inside, and there's nothing you can say to him also. Then the least you can do is read the dua. Inshallah, by reading the dua, the car will remain in control. So there are benefits of reading these duas when you are traveling. So, وَمَا كُنَّا لَهُ مُقْرِنِينَ. سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي سَخَّرَ لَنَا هَذَا وَمَا كُنَّا لَهُ مُقْرِنِينَ. سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي سَخَّرَ لَنَا هَذَا. Pure is Allah who has placed this animal or this means of conveyance at our service. وَمَا كُنَّا لَهُ مُقْرِنِينَ. Whereas we would never have been able to control it. Sulaiman ibn Yasar rahimahullahu ta'ala says that on one occasion some people, they were traveling, and while they were traveling on their animals, then they recited this dua. So when they recited this dua, there was one person who said that amma ana fa inni lihadihi lamuqrin. That as far as I am concerned, you know, you're all saying that wama kunna lahu muqrinin. You're all saying that we would never have been able to control this animal. You're reading this dua and you're saying that we would not have been able to control this animal. So as far as I am concerned, I am in full control of my animal. In other words, he mocked the dua. So this is another lesson that we have to keep in mind, that whenever it comes to any teaching of deen, any teaching of sharia, any teaching from the Quran and hadith, we should never ridicule and make fun out of it. This is something very severe. The incident comes to mind, which a hadith reported by Imam Tirmidhi rahmatullahi alayh, that there was a muhaddith. So this is the incident which is mentioned in the commentary, that there was a muhaddith, so a teacher of hadith. So you can understand that he had a very high rank and status. But whenever he would impart his lessons of hadith, he would cover his face and veil his face from his students. So one day, one of his students asked him that whenever you come to teach and impart the lesson of hadith, you never show us your face, you always cover your face. What's the secret behind this? Why do you never show your face? So he informed him that the reason why I have always covered my face up to now is that there's an incident behind this. And the incident is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has mentioned in a hadith, I can't remember the actual words, but the meaning of the hadith is that if a person, he comes up from ruku before the imam, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will turn his face into the face of a donkey. Now, it's not necessary that this will happen. There's an interpretation to the hadith. But this person, he thought to himself that how is it possible that a person's face could turn into a face of a donkey? This is not possible. It's not going to happen. So in the next namaz, before the imam got up from ruku, he stood up, trying to test this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And as a result of this, Allah Ta'ala turned his face into the face of a donkey. So he said to his student, because of that, whenever I come to teach the lessons of hadith now, I veil my face because I don't want to show people that my face has been turned into the face of a donkey. That these things can happen when we ridicule the teachings of Islam. One is that you don't practice upon a certain aspect of Islam due to your own negligence. This doesn't mean that you don't practice, you should try to practice. But because we are weak, we can't practice upon everything. But this, a second stage is that you don't practice, but then you mock and you make fun out of those that are practicing. So this is very severe. This could even lead a person to going out of the fold of Islam, because you are speaking against the teachings of Islam. So this person also, whilst traveling, when everybody recited the dua, they said, "Wama kunna lahu muqrinin," that we would never have been able to control this animal if Allah Ta'ala did not place the animal in our control. So he said, "As for me, I am controlling the animal myself. There's no need for me to read the dua. Even without the dua, I'll control my animal." So when he said this, this animal threw him off and broke his neck and took his life. So instantly he lost his life because he made fun out of this dua. So look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gives us the means of conveyance. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gives us the ability to control these means of conveyance. And finally, وَإِنَّا إِلَىٰ رَبِّنَا لَمُنْقَلِبُونَ. The last part of the dua is that وَإِنَّا إِلَىٰ رَبِّنَا لَمُنْقَلِبُونَ. So وَإِنَّا إِلَىٰ رَبِّنَا لَمُنْقَلِبُونَ. The translation is that, and our return shall certainly be to our Rabb. Our return shall certainly be to our Rabb. Now, when we look at the translation, the first part, Subhanalladhi sakhara lana hadha wa ma kunna lahu muqrinin, this has a connection with traveling. But wa inna ila rabbina lamunqalibun, that to our return is certainly, to our Rabb is certainly our return. Certainly we are going to return to our Rabb. There seems to be no apparent connection with traveling on this part of the dua, whereas there is a connection. And there are three points. The first point is that the reason we say this when traveling is that whilst undertaking this temporary journey, when we are traveling in this worldly life, whatever journey it is, it's a temporary journey. We go from here to London, after a few hours or few days, we will return again. We go to another country, after a few weeks, we return again. So it's always a temporary journey. So whilst undertaking this temporary journey, we shouldn't become oblivious of our permanent journey. At that time, we should remind ourselves that today I am traveling and this is a temporary journey. But it's a permanent journey. And the permanent journey is the journey to the akhirah, the hereafter. So we should remind ourselves that I make so much preparations for these temporary journeys in this world. If somebody is going to travel from here to India or to Pakistan or for Umrah, for Hajj, for 2 weeks, for 3 weeks. But for that, the preparation begins either days in advance, sometimes weeks in advance, sometimes even months in advance. And we make sure we have every single item, even though in this world, if you forget something, you can buy it there also. We don't live in those times where we go to a country and we're not going to find those items. But even then, our luggage will always be full. And we always have problems in the customs, especially in our culture. So we make sure we have everything. We don't miss anything. We make a whole list that I need all of these items. Half the stuff you don't even need. You feel that I might need it, so you add that also. You might, maybe, there's 1% chance I might need this, so let me put this in also. But when it comes to the journey of the Akhirah, what preparations have we made for that journey? This is why famous incident that there was a master and a slave. Now this slave, he wasn't very smart. His mind, he was a bit slow. So his master, one day became angry with him. So he brought a very expensive stick. And he gave this expensive stick to his slave. And he said to his slave that this is the reward for the most foolish person in the entire world. So I am giving it to you. And if you see anybody who is more foolish than you, then you should give it to that person. So he was a slave, normal, simple, down to earth person. He took the stick and he went and put it in his room. After some time passed, one day, the master became very ill and very sick. So he began to call all his people one by one and asking them for forgiveness. So he called a slave of his also. And he said, "Forgive me if I've done anything to you." So the slave asked him that, "Why are you asking for forgiveness from everyone? Are you going somewhere?" He said, "Yes, I'm going on a very lengthy journey." He said, "When are you going to return?" He said, "I am not going to return now." He said, "You're not going to return? Normally, whenever you go for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, you make so much preparations. I've not seen you make any preparation. What preparations have you made?" He said, "You're right. For this journey, I've made no preparation. For this journey, I've made no preparation." So he went in, this so-called foolish person. But in reality, he was the intelligent one. He went in and he got the stick and he gave the stick to the master. And he said, "You're more foolish than me also, that you're going on such a lengthy journey that you're never going to return and you made no preparation for it." But each and every one of us, we all fall in the same category. That we all make preparations for all of these temporary journeys of ours. What preparations have we made for that journey which is going to take us to Jannah? So, وَإِنَّا إِلَىٰ رَبِّنَا لَمُنْقَلِبُونَ. When you are traveling, even at that time when you read this dua, you are supposed to ponder and you are supposed to tell yourself that just as I am traveling now and I have made so much preparations for this journey, for the Akhirah and the hereafter. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he would be heard at night in the mihrab. He would stand alone and he would speak and he would address the world and he would say that, "Oh dunya, oh world, gurri ghayri, go deceive somebody else, don't deceive me. Qad battattuki thalath, I have given you 3 divorces. And thereafter, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu would say, "Ah min qillati zad wa bu'di safar wa wahshati tariq." That woe to me, I have so little provisions and the journey is so lengthy. This is Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam already mentioned that you are from the people of Jannah. But this was his concern, that for this lengthy journey of the Akhirah and the hereafter, the provisions which I have are so little. Yet you and I, we never have time to even ponder over this. That what luggage do we have for the Akhirah? What have we prepared and what have we secured that we can take with us in the Akhirah and in the hereafter? So, وَإِنَّا إِلَىٰ رَبِّنَا لَمُنْقَلِبُونَ. When you are traveling, you remind yourself that you are going to one day take this journey to your Rabb and to your hereafter. And just as you make preparations for your worldly journeys, we need to make preparations for our journey to the Akhirah. And a second point is that when a person goes on holiday, when he's away from his family or he's with his family but he's away from home, he is more prone to sin. This is why you will see many people that at home, when they are local, they perform their 5 times salah. And on holiday, they think to themselves, I'm on holiday, so I'm on holiday from everything. So even salah goes out the window. The same person who reads the Quran daily at home, in holiday, in 7 days, he won't touch the Quran. So when you're on holiday, you're more prone to committing those wrong things which you will not commit. And if you are away from everybody, it's a lad's trip, it's a business trip, then I won't say anything here. But each person knows, those people that go on these things, many of them know what they get up to there. They do those things which you cannot even mention with the tongue, especially in the masjid. And these are realities. We are not talking about people that are extremely far away from deen. Even those people who normally you will see in the masjid, who are regarded as religious people, but on a holiday, it's a completely different world. So even there, you're being reminded that when you are traveling now, read this dua and tell yourself, "Wa inna ila rabbina lamunqalibun." We are going to return to our Rabb. So at every moment during that holiday of yours, during that journey of yours, during that travel of yours, whether anybody is watching you or not, tell yourself that I'm going to return to Allah and that Allah is watching me. So this will save you from committing sins. So not only should we read the dua, we have to ponder over the meaning also. Then it'll benefit. So this is the second benefit of this last statement in this dua. And the third benefit is that when a person, he mounts upon an animal or he sits inside his means of conveyance, then this can become a means of pride for him if he does not ponder that this is also a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person becomes proud and arrogant. If somebody sits in his Range Rover, he becomes intoxicated and he thinks there's nobody like him in the world. And then you have those people that line up 4, 5, 6 cars in the driveway. And they'll take pictures also and they'll show everyone that look at the cars that I have. But this is also an intoxicant, isn't it? You see many celebrities also, they want to show their life that look at the cars that I have. But what they don't realize is there's no value to this. But because we live in this materialistic world, even a person who's got a 20,000 pound car, or a normal car sometimes, just a completely simple car, but none of his friends have a car, so even him, the first time he'll sit in the car, his feeling will just be completely different. I'm something different. Look at me, I've got a car, none of my friends have a car. Even a means of transport can become a means of pride. Many people will see that when a nice car goes past, they'll stop there and they'll just keep looking at it. Like, wow, look at that car. Some people, they pride in the car. They'll wash their car, they'll clean it, and they'll look at it. For 5 minutes, they'll observe and they feel very happy that, look, this is my car. And then they'll go inside the house, and after 10 minutes, they'll come back and look at the same car again. And it feels nice that, look, my car. Some take pride over their own car, and some they themselves don't have a nice car. Nice car meaning that in our terminology, nice one. Otherwise every car is nice. You have a means of transport, be grateful to Allah Ta'ala. But you look at cars and you think, I wish I had that car also. Youngsters will have posters of cars in their bedrooms. Cars that they'll never drive in their life. But every night when they look at the wall, one day this might be my car. On their phone, probably the home screen will be a nice car. That's the dream. So every time a nice car goes past, they say and they just wish that, I wish this was my car. This is what happened with Qarun. During the time of Qarun, when Qarun came out with all the nice things that Allah Ta'ala had given him, the wealth. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ يُرِيدُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا. Those people who desire this worldly life, when they saw Qarun, they said, Ya layta, ya layta, ya laytana mithla ma utiya Qarun. If only we were also given the same that Qarun has been given. Innahu ladhu hadzin azim. He has been given something great. Allah Ta'ala has bestowed him with so much. So this is one category that when they see a nice car, when they see a nice house, when they see someone with a lot of money, then they think, I wish I was like that also. I wish I also had that. But you have another category. وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمِ The people with ilm and knowledge. What did they say? وَيْلَكُمْ Woe to you people. ثَوَابُ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ لِمَنْ آمَنَ وَأَمِلَ صَالِحًا The reward of Allah is far more better for those who bring iman and do good deeds. Why do you want this world when the akhirah is awaiting you? So وَإِنَّا إِلَىٰ رَبِّنَا لَمُنْقَلِبُونَ A third benefit of saying this in this dua, a third benefit is that when you sit in your car, if you start feeling proud and arrogant, and you start thinking to yourself that, look at my car, or the car that I have is better than other people's cars, then at that time remind yourself that you're going to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no need to be proud and arrogant over this car. Rather, this is something which Allah ta'ala has given you. So this is the dua which we have been taught here in Surah Az-Zukhruf, which we should recite. Some Mufassirin mentioned that when you sit in a boat or in a ship, then you should say what Nuh alayhi salam said, Bismillahi majireha wa mursaha, inna rabbi laghafurur rahim. But this dua can also be recited. And after Subhanalladhi sakhara lana hadha wa ma kunna lahu muqrinin wa inna ila rabbina lamunqalibun, the other du'as which are supposed to be recited, I've already mentioned, is on the piece of paper which you were given. And finally, the dua which is reported by Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayh. In there, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us that we should also read, Allahumma inna nas'aluka fi safarina hadha al-birra wa taqwa. وَمِنَ الْعَمَلِ مَا تَرْضَى اللَّهُمَّ حَوِّنْ عَلَيْنَا سَفَرَنَا هَذَا وَطْوِ أَنَّا بُعْدَهُ اللَّهُمَّ أَنْتَ الصَّاحِبُ فِي السَّفَرِ وَالْخَلِيفَةُ فِي الْأَهْلِ اللَّهُمَّ إِنِّي أَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ وَأْثَاءِ السَّفَرِ وَكَآبَةِ الْمَنْظَرِ وَسُوءِ الْمُنْقَلَبِ فِي الْمَالِ وَالْأَهْلِ وَالْوَلَدِ So try to learn these du'as and recite these du'as whenever you mount, be it on an animal or in any means of conveyance. Inshallah, by doing so, we will benefit greatly. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He grants us all the ability to learn the masnood du'as and to also bring them into our lives. One other dua comes to mind, which is very important because every person, one of his greatest concern is that how will iman remain in my life also and how will iman remain in the lives of my children also. Especially for the young ones and those who don't have children right now, Allah Ta'ala inshallah will bless you with children. So this is something important to keep in mind. That if at the time of being intimate with one's wife, if a person before he becomes intimate with one's wife, he recites this dua, Bismillah, Allahumma jannibna shaytan wa jannibis shaytana ma razaqtana. And thereafter, due to this meeting with the wife, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses you with a child, no matter how far this person, this child will go away from deen, but shaitan will not be able to snatch iman away from this child. This child will definitely die upon iman. But look at the benefit of this one dua. That if a person just remembers to read this one dua before becoming intimate with his wife and a child is born, that child will definitely, and he's guaranteed to leave this world with iman. These are great benefits of these masnoon du'as and these masnoon supplications. But number one, we don't learn these du'as. And if we do learn them, then we don't recite these du'as. So when we're not going to learn the du'as and we're not going to practice upon them, we're the ones who are going to lose out. Otherwise, everything's there. The recipe to success is there in the Quran and Hadith. But if you and I are not going to take that into our lives, then there's no one else to blame. And especially when we are given these opportunities where we are reminded. There are so many people who are living a life of neglect and they are not reminded. But we, alhamdulillah, are given this opportunity. Many brothers attend weekly. So over and over again, we're reminded of these things. The whole benefit of these durus is to take something away from here that we can bring into our lives. The benefit is not to give any entertaining talks. I've been mentioning this over and over again in the past few weeks. Otherwise, we can't give entertaining talks also. We can just mention here stories upon stories and everybody will be mesmerized, everybody will feel excited and happy. And what an amazing talk it was. What's the benefit of that? The benefit of these gatherings is that we have to take something away from us. So every person here should make this intention that from today, on a weekly basis, and if weekly is too difficult, then on a monthly basis, we will learn at least one dua which we have been taught by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And after learning that dua, we'll bring that dua into our lives. So many duas we already know, we've learned them in madrasa. But we don't read them. Before eating, if a person ponders, there will be so many people who know that before eating, you should say Bismillahi wa barakatillah. But many times we'll just start eating. We won't read the dua. When waking up, we don't read the dua. Before going to sleep. So the duas that we know from today, let's make this intention that from today, those duas that I already know, I'm going to start practicing upon them. And thereafter, either weekly or monthly, we learn a new dua and bring that into our life also. So that in 10 years' time, 20 years' time, there'll be so many duas that will be in our life. But if we don't start, even after 20 years, we still won't have any duas in our life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the ability. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Just one important announcement. I think a brother has brought some food for all those brothers who attended today's lesson. Kabir bhai hai? Aisa hi hai? So inshallah after Maghrib Salah, you are requested to. Ji? After Maghrib Salah, you are requested to partake of the food before leaving. And another important lesson is those adults who are free on a Tuesday afternoon. So Tuesday after Zuhr Salah. Zuhr Salah at the moment in winter is at 1 o'clock. So Tuesdays after Zohar, if you're free, there will be a class that will be taught from 1:15 to 2 o'clock. So 45 minutes class will be taught where Tajweed will be taught. So you'll be taught how to read the Quran correctly. This is for depending on whatever level. So even if someone's completely on the basic level, he doesn't even know how to read the letters, he can also attend. Or you know how to read, but it's not very strong, you can also attend. A Tajweed class and also basic Masail, regarding wudu, ghusl, salah, other things that we need for our daily practices. So this lesson will take place for 45 minutes every Tuesday after Zuhr Salah, starting in December. So if anybody is interested, they are requested to give their names in and start registering so that from December this class can begin. Jazakallah.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين إذا زلزلت الأرض زلزالها وأخرجت الأرض أثقالها وقال الإنسان ما لها يومئذ تحدث أخبارها بأن ربك أوحى لها يومئذ يصدر الناس أشتاتا ليروا أعمالهم فمن يعمل مثقال ذرة خيرا يره ومن يعمل مثقال ذرة شرا يره الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفره إنه كان توابا الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
اللهم اشفع.